This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Odyssey Sports Station.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It's game day under sunshine in downtown Buffalo. Welcome in for Sabres Live. It's a brand new week with Marty and Brian, and soon to be joined by the newest Buffalo Sabre. What are you tossing your phone for already?
Tossing my phone because I need social media updates in the real time.
On what?
On X.
No,
and
but
X
on is, what? Like, what well, topic do you need?
I want to know what's happening with the Oilers. Like, if there's
they
lineup.
Have won 3 out of 4. Leon Draisaitl is unstoppable with 21 points in his 14-game point streak. He leads the NHL with 46 goals.
What Unbelievable.
More you, what more do you need?
You know, like when Gretzky scored 50 and 39.
Yes.
One of the big thing was he's got to 50 before anybody else got to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Leon could get to 50 before anybody else gets to 40.
How many games does Ovechkin have between now and
then? I was going to say,
like, Ovi, this is insane. Ovi's got 33 goals in 48 games.
That's crazy. He needs 9 in the next 18, right? And let me look at my schedule, because March 30th is Washington at Buffalo.
Correct.
And if I am a hockey fan.
No, it's at Washington.
It's at Washington. Yes, you're right. Sorry. Yeah. It's at Washington. Don't care. If you're a
Well, it makes a difference for our season ticket buyers here.
Yeah, that would be nice to have it at home here. Just like when Gretzky broke the Phil Esposito record
here.
At the odd.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, like, this is a date that's your circle. What if Ovi is within 2 or 3 goals of breaking the record, you know, when he plays the Sabres on March 30th? It could happen.
Don't you think he will be?
There's a very, very good chance. And I know there's Sabres at Oilers at Sabres tonight here at KeyBank Center. We're not on. It's an ESPN Plus game, so unfortunately, no Duffer, no me tonight. There won't be any Duffer or me on Wednesday either when Detroit is in town. But Ovi scores again in an empty net. How could he get a backhand from center ice? Like, his curve is so boomerangy that he got it right down the middle of the net on the back end. I was impressed. I was impressed with his empty net goal. That's all I want to say.
Spontaneous trivia.
Yes.
Does Ovechkin lead the league in empty net goals this season?
He is now 8.
He has 8.
And that leads the league.
He is a co-leader in the league.
Do you know the record?
With Mikko Rantanen, who also got his 8th empty netter of the season yesterday in a Dallas win.
You know what's the record for most empty netter in the league?
9.
9.
Yeah. This was a Sabres Live exclusive trivia nugget like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're right. But I wrote it down in one of my books. And
Your
I'm like,
books.
Listen, People are saying...
Noted writer.
We don't want Ovi to break Wayne Gretzky's record on an empty netter. I get it. But I don't care. The guy just scores goals. And if the Washington Capitals weren't good this year, he wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to score 8 empty net goals.
They've won 4 in a row after the little blip on the homestand where they dropped 3 in a row. And right now, there are 8 games for Washington before he takes on the Sabres.
Yes.
He needs 9. If he scores it a goal a game over the next 8.
He's going to be there. I think he gets 5 in the next 8.
Okay, so then he would need 4 against Buffalo.
He could get 3 to tie and then 1 more to pass.
I'm just going to say this, like I say every time about Sidney Crosby, don't bet against him.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Sid and Gino. Like, I love these stories because, obviously, we had the trade deadline on Friday over the weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the Sabres play Saturday night against Florida. 4-0 loss. Josh Norris' first game. They play the Oilers tonight. But when you look at the weekend and you look at the stories around the NHL over the weekend, Mikko Rantanen looks like a different player. Mm-hmm. He looks like himself with Colorado.
But they got beat by the Oilers in his first game on Saturday.
Yes, it was a 5-4.
Yeah. Dallas had a big start to the third period, got back within 1. But
they ended up winning yesterday.
Yes, against the Vancouver
Canucks. But I'm looking at Mikko Rantanen. He looks different playing with the Dallas Stars than he did with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right.
Now, turn that around. Carolina gets Logan Stankoven. He looked good with Carolina.
Carolina's won 4 in a row.
So, okay, maybe Carolina's not such a loser at the deadline. They did what they had to do. Mm-hmm. They moved Rantanen. They got a player like Logan Stankoven. He's going to get an opportunity, and he's looked good. So that's the story about Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin scoring against Marc-Andre Fleury.
You're burying the lead because it is a game night here, and we tend to leave these nuggets for later on in the show.
Yeah,
and we
I know.
Have a special guest waiting.
Oh.
So just let me tell you that yes. Greenway was on the ice this morning. Zucker was on the ice this morning. Jiří Kulík was on the ice, but he's not 100% yet. So if things go well for Greenway and Zucker, they could both be in the lineup tonight. As far as the top line this morning, Paterka with Norris and Thompson. And as far as the schedule ahead that Marty referenced, beyond tonight, the Sabres will be taking on Detroit on the road on Wednesday. And when the week concludes, it's going to be Vegas here for a 12:30 game on Saturday. Josh Norris makes his home debut for the Sabres tonight, and he's with us now on Sabres Live. Great to see you. Welcome to Buffalo.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
You get a beautiful day for your first game at home. It's not snowing. It's not going sideways. Although in Ottawa, I'm sure you had those snowstorms and you know the weather. But what's the excitement? You know, being here in Buffalo and finally getting to maybe spend a little bit more time practicing and getting to know the players.
Yeah, the guys have been great so far. It's obviously, a little weird coming to a new city and new teammates during the year. I've never had that happen before. So, obviously lots of guys go through it, and it's my first time doing it. And guys have been great. Staff has been awesome. So I'm just excited to
play.
Watch
out for George. Watch out for George. The equipment guy, George.
Yeah.
He can be a little crazy, but he's a great, great resource to go to. He's been around since the early 90s, I think, and he still looks the same. So yeah,
I've heard a lot about Georgie so far. So
I had that was my sense as soon as it was as if every visiting team knows who George is, even though George isn't typically involved there. We heard Matthias Samuelsson after the game on Saturday talking about how long he's known you, and I'm just curious, what other guys in the room do you have even a little hockey relationship with?
Just OP. I've met him a couple times just passing in the summer. Mm-hmm. Obviously, 2 Michigan guys, or he went to Michigan. So,
yeah.
Other than that, it's a fresh slate and have to make some new relationships. But I'm excited. Yeah, like I said, the guys have been good.
How does that work? Because do you get on the ice for practice and tell Tage or anybody, say, hey, let's pass the puck a little bit? Like almost like youth hockey, trying to build the repetition and the chemistry. How does that work for you with new players?
Yeah, the first skate, not so much. I was just out there, new gear and everything. So, that was a day that a lot was going on. Mm-hmm. But today, a little bit more, just more power play stuff too with Rass and and Tage and Appy, and just you know, picking their brain and you know, seeing what's going to work for us. So yeah, I think, you know, you kind of have to let it happen organically too, and play a few games before you kind of, you know exactly where the other guys are going to be.
More in a one-timer position on the power play today when you were working on it?
Yeah, yeah. Today I was on the flank. Yeah, I like being there. That's a spot I've had some success in, and hopefully can do that tonight.
You do have some fans everywhere, but as we were talking on Saturday during the broadcast about your position on the power play, and somebody on X reached out and says, Marty, just take 2 minutes to look at his highlight reel from 2 years ago, and you're going to see he's got a deadly one-timer in the power play. Like, I know, I've seen that. I've covered you before. But when you talk about your skill set, is your shot something that you would say is a big part of your success and your production?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, obviously, like I've talked about before, I'm open about it. The last couple of years have been, you know, not the best for me, just injury-wise and stuff like that. So I think I've, you know, sometimes I've gotten away from shooting the puck a lot, and I have to remind myself to, you know, shoot it, and that's one of my strengths. And, you know, obviously I had a really good year before that all started to happen. So just, you know, constant reminders to myself to shoot it. And, you know, sometimes you have to be selfish, and if there's a shot there, take it, and if not, then and make a play.
How did the parents take the news that you're on the move?
I mean, yeah, it was obviously I talked to my agent right away, and then called my dad, and he was very supportive of me, and said, look, you know, everything happens for a reason, and it's going to be good for you. You're going to get a fresh start. And, you know, both of my brothers were big helps too. I'm super close with those two. So it was a very emotional day, but that's why you have, you know, your family and some close friends there, and very thankful for them.
Any of them plan a visit shortly? Because I remember when I got traded to Philly, that was my only time getting traded in season and getting to feel that. I had family members, friends come in to visit, and it felt like, okay, it's helping me kind of feel normal, right? Do you have any friends and families that are going to come and maybe do that for you?
Yeah, I was talking to my little brother, still in college, but my older brother lives in the Detroit area, and he's already planning his trip to come up for Saturday.
It's a quick flight or an easy drive,
yeah,
right, through Canada. I'm sure,
yeah,
he's done that before. So.
Yeah, yeah. I put it in maps as soon as I got traded, you know, see how far away I am from them. So they're going to come up and see me this weekend, I think. And so, yeah, that'll be exciting. Hopefully, yeah, I'm in the hotel right now, so yeah, Hopefully find a place to have some more room. But, yeah, I'm excited to get some family up here.
Your dad's still coaching?
Yeah, yeah, he's still coaching. Yeah, they actually had a tough game the other day in States. Supposedly, they were in the semifinals, and the puck didn't cross the line, and the ref said it was, but it's youth hockey, so there's no video review. Their season's over, so he was all mad.
Didn't that appear, maybe my timeline on Instagram or something, like it was a shot that went over, the goalie hit the crossbar, and then they call it a goal in OT, and everybody's celebrating, but really the video evidence is clear, but there's no review. I don't know,
yeah,
if that's the same one or not.
I don't know if that was the same one, but it was a similar situation. So, yeah, it's competitive in Detroit, you know. But, yeah, he's still coaching. So.
And he coached you along,
yeah,
the way?
Yeah,
well?
He coached me until I was, I think, 13 or 14. Mm-hmm. And then once I got to midget minor, he kind of passed me off. And
so what's that dynamic like when, you know, you're growing up around the game because your dad played, yeah, a lot of pro hockey in his career, and then you do break away from his coaching, but I'm guessing the coaching never really ends, no matter where you are?
Yeah. I mean, I think it ends a little bit. He was always, you know, involved with me and hard on me in a good way, and wanted me to do well. And, you know, kind of just brought me up the right way. Same thing with my brothers. And I think there gets to a certain point where you kind of have to let your kid go a little bit. And he did that. And especially once I got out of the house to go to play junior hockey, that's when he really, you know, backed off a little bit. And if I needed something, I would kind of bring it up to him. And I mean, he would say things at certain times, but for the most part, it's if I don't bring it up, then he won't talk to
me. I love the dynamic. Wolverine, dad's a Spartan.
I know, exactly. There's battles inside the house. But like one of my big things, like with my kid, for example, is always like I look at his equipment, right? I'm always like, the other day I saw him at practice Saturday morning. Like, why is your jersey so small in here? Like, he's a goalie. Like, make yourself look big. Does your dad look at your sticks and, like, did you change your curve? Or does he pay attention to the equipment side?
He does a little bit. I actually have a funny story. I don't know if it's true, but I think it is. So my dad was a righty, and he had the old, like, wedge, like, Lidstrom curve when he played.
Everybody
a lot
played
of guys used to
then.
Use that. Yeah. And he didn't want me using his stick, so he made me a lefty. And then I ended up using his teammate, Chris Taylor's stick, who had the exact same curve, but in a lefty. So it didn't really work, you know? Other than that, no. I mean, I don't, yeah.
Right now, what do you have? Because everybody's got, they don't have that wedge anymore. Nobody gets
like
to handle.
It's like a P28, but it's not the full banana hook. It's a little modified, but yeah, pretty much P28.
Okay.
Yeah. Was saying goodbye to Brady one of the hardest parts?
Yeah.
Of the deal?
That was really hard.
Because you've known him and been around him for what? How many?
I've known him since I was 15. Yeah. Or he's a late birthday. He was 15, I was 16. We were just joining the U.S. program. And we just kind of clicked right away. I don't know what it was. Just kind of gravitated towards each other. And he was the first guy that I saw, other than some of the trainers that were at, because we were at the practice rink when I got traded, so I went back to the big rink, said goodbye to some of the trainers, and then he kind of walked in, and we shared the room for 15, 20 minutes, and that was tough for sure. And then he actually came over and helped me pack before I left, and brought Emma and their kid Ryder. So that's when it really hit me, when I saw Ryder and Emma was emotional. Yeah. So that was really tough, but unfortunately that's... It's part of the business, but we were just talking about how grateful we were to play together, and not too often you get a chance to play in the NHL with your best friends. So, and we played together a lot, so I'm just grateful for the time.
So it's good that you have friends like that, because when I got traded, Danny Briere was my roommate and probably my best friend on the team. He couldn't wait to kick me out the door. But, unfortunately, Sabres fans, I know, sensitive, not even 6 months later, we were playing together in Philadelphia. There are some fans here that are saying... Would you, maybe, no tempering allowed, but, I mean, we'd like to have a Brady Tkachuk on this team at some point. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just putting it in the universe right now.
Yeah. Funny. Hey, his mic no longer works. At
exactly. He's like, I'm not answering that question. I'm just putting it out there. We'll move on from that. Okay, so now the Edmonton Oilers tonight. I mean, they are a team that have Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. It's a pretty big challenge. Mm-hmm. What is your view of what you have to do personally against that team tonight?
I mean, obviously defend. They're really hard players to play against. Obviously, it's no secret. And I think you just make them work for everything. Don't give them anything that's easy. They're going to make plays. It is what it is. They're two of the best players in the world, so you have to understand that. But I think you got to make it as hard as you can on them and stay above them, and try not to give them too much time, because they're smart players. They're gonna find their space, but just try to make it really hard on them.
Do you have any personal moments against them that you recall so far?
Yeah, I do actually. There's of course, I think everyone does.
Yeah.
It was my rookie year, COVID year, so we were playing in the North Division.
Oh yeah, the Canadian
Division, and I think it was my first time playing Edmonton, and I was a rookie, but I was playing on the first line, and. First time ever playing against Leon, and they had a face-off. I think it was like first or second shift of the game, and I remember thinking, I'm like, before the game, like, yeah, Leon's, you know, he's a superstar, he's a really good player, but like, I'll be all right, like, I'll be fine. And then I was on my offside taking a draw, and he knew exactly what I was doing. I was going power, and he kind of just waited, lifted his stick, tapped it back, and the puck was in the net within like 3 seconds, and I was like, man, these guys are no joke. So I've had to adjust a little bit on face-offs against certain guys. So it was a funny moment, though.
Thank you for being here today.
I was going to ask one more quickly.
Okay. Yeah,
just because
Marty always likes
there's
to get
a
the last
story
word.
Of a fan in Ottawa that tattooed your face on his stomach. Now, I know you played on social media with that fan a few times about it, but was this a real tattoo? Or do you know? Or do you have confirmation that guy actually got a real tattoo?
He said it was a real tat, and he sent it. And he had a picture of all the people working on him. There was like four or five people doing the tattoo at one time. So I mean, it's not 100% that it was real, but I mean, he said it was, and I sent him a jersey and everything. So that was weird.
Okay, yeah.
That was weird.
I don't recommend anybody in Buffalo getting a face of somebody on your stomach as a tattoo. But if you want to get, you know, well, not, right now it's number 13. Would that stick?
13,
or,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
yeah.
like a nice number 13 something would be fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
You okay with 13?
Yeah, I picked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know. No.
I like it.
I am only asking whether you had it at any time along the way.
No, never. No. I've worn 14 and 9, and 13 was kind of the one that was there, and yeah, wanted a fresh start.
I'll take it.
Exactly. Love the fresh start. Yes. Thank you again for being here today.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Josh hopes to have some friends, family in attendance, and we want to see you here as well on that Saturday afternoon game that starts at 12:30 at KeyBank. It is part of our St. Patrick's Day celebration. Vegas will be here. It's presented by Topps Friendly Markets. It's a St. Patty's Day celebration, special giveaways and games in the concourse to celebrate, of course, one of Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Of course, there's still some available for tonight as the Sabres take on the Oilers, an Edmonton team that has won 3 out of 4. Now, did you sense in my tone when I was asking Josh why number 13? It was fallout from last week when we had the
discussion
here on this show. So
yeah,
so that was lingering, and I love his answer. I love all his answers because he's thoughtful. And he tries to give you a little bit as far as insight into where he's been, his journey to this point, and he's ending the interview by talking about clean slate, fresh start kind of thing. And that has to be, I'm assuming, as an athlete, where you go in these emotionally eventful times in your career.
Well, when I was traded from Buffalo to Philly, you only have to do one thing as a goalie, stop the puck, right? Like, if you don't want to play the puck, if you don't want to, you know, get involved into too much at the beginning, just stop the puck. But as a player, it's different. You have to get involved in everything, especially if you're Josh Norris. You got to get involved, you know, creating offense, power play, setting up where you're going to be, trying to understand the structure, you know, how you play. So that's interesting. You know, we talked about his dad coaching and his dad playing. The connection is his dad played with my brother in Frankfurt in Germany, which is incredible. That was his last pro year. I believe it was 2006, 2007, but right there. When you asked about the number 13, I thought to myself, oh, what number did his dad wear? Because his dad...
14.
14. So obviously not going to wear 14 here in Buffalo. He also wore 28 with the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. So
Times 14.
Exactly. Yeah. But I do like the number 13 a little bit different. This is a player that has had maybe his bad luck with injuries over the last little bit. And he says, you know what? Bring in 13 and let's go. I'm going to make something out of it.
And today, Paterka on the left, Thompson on the right, and then power play. And again, this is subject to change. Zucker is expected to go. If he doesn't, that would change the power play one wrinkle. Greenway is hopeful of getting back in after illness as well. Yuri Kulik was skating this morning, but doesn't look likely for him to be in the mix. But let's start with 5-on-5 and your assessment or your projection, perhaps, for Paterka, Norris, and Thompson.
I like it. And I know that Josh Norris's first game, Lindy Ruff said, okay, let me put Tuck and Thompson with Josh Norris. I didn't love Thompson on the left wing. And that's the big thing, right? Because he ended up being almost going counter to where he's got to go. When you're a right-handed shot and you're playing the left wing, every time a puck is coming around the board in the defensive zone, you're turning your back to where you got to go. So it kept coming back into the zone. I didn't love it. I know that in theory you're like, oh, in the zone, he's going to be on his one-time side. When you enter the zone, the puck's in the middle. But you have to be really good with the puck in the defensive zone to be able to handle that. And I thought Tate struggled a little bit. So now you put Paterka and Thompson together on the same line with Norris. And the fact that Zucker looks like we'll be ready to go tonight, it allows Zucker, McLeod, and Tuck to play together again. And that is, to me, a line that has worked really well. And Tuck has been able to drive the offense away from Thompson. He doesn't have to be on the ice with Tage Thompson to drive the offense. He's been able to do it. So I like the way that the lines, especially the top six, is configured right now with Zucker coming back and Norris playing with Paterka and Thompson.
But we could assume, based on length of time illness usually impacts these players, and the fact that Jiří was on the ice this morning, let's assume Jiří is back on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine you straying too far from Paterka, Norris, and Thompson right now. I would think that you would want to have this in a, at worst, a trial manner for a handful of games. Would you assume Jiří comes up and gets a longer look to play with Tuck on his right side and Zucker on his left? Or would you think that Jiří might slot in on the third line between Benson and Quinn, and that would drop Krebs down where we've seen him often this year, which would be on line four, potentially with any combination of Malenstein, Greenway, Lafferty.
Yeah, and where do you fit Greenway? Like right now, you've got him more of a fourth line.
Well, Greenway can certainly move up when he's got more legs, and Benson, I think, would be the logical candidate to be energy fourth line based on his challenges of scoring so far right now. 100%.
So my thinking here is, okay, if you were to put Greenway and Quinn as a pair of wingers, I would like McLeod in the middle of those, mm-hmm. because maybe you're looking at playing a different type of hockey. Quinn obviously has the ability to create offensively, but maybe you put that on Jack Quinn and say, hey, follow McLeod and Greenway in the way that they want to play. Be really strong defensively. Mm-hmm. And Kulik playing with Zucker and Tuck would allow Jiří to just have veterans with him. That makes most sense. And plus, you put Jiří in a top six role, mm-hmm. where he's better slotted anyway. If you were to put Jiří Kulik with Greenway and Quinn, or Benson and Quinn, I don't know that you're really giving him all the opportunities to use his skill set. So I think McLeod, for me, is a perfect third-line center that can move up in your lineup if you need him to. But if you have Norris and Kulik and then McLeod, I think you're giving yourself a better chance to slot players where they need to be slotted.
Second and final meeting of the year between the Sabres and Oilers tonight, back at the end of January. Edmonton nipped the Sabres 3-2. That was in Edmonton to close out a Western trip for Buffalo. Tonight it continues this, as Marty pointed out a week or two ago, just how Sabres aren't going to find themselves in the same rink too often here in this month of March. It's home, it's away, it's home, it's away. It's a couple of different, you know, stops on the road and things of that nature. Right now, the focus is to get that first win in seven games, and the attempt to do so comes against McDavid, Draisaitl, the Oilers tonight. We're back after this on Sabres Live. Tons to get to around the NHL, and of course more on what Buffalo's up against after this.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, non-stop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Talking your ears off has become the theme here.
Yeah,
in our,
I got to stop talking, first of all.
I know.
Because of a weekend.
How's the throat?
The throat is fine. The voice left again, but that was not Well, I had to. Look, Friday, just take a little sidebar here. Army was in. My son with West Point were in to play Niagara in the second round of the Atlantic Hockey Association playoffs. Friday night, they went to double OT. So I made my way back from trade deadline Toronto, stopped in Niagara, second intermission. I saw the third period, the first OT, and almost they scored with like 4 minutes left. So it went second OT. Saturday, they played. They lost 4-3 to Niagara. We were in studio. So yesterday, 5 o'clock was game 3. It's a best out of 3. Sure enough, they went to OT again, and Army scored in OT on the power play early in the first overtime. So Army moves on, but, I mean, I'm screaming my you know, voice off and just yelling and cheering on the team. And so, yeah, I felt the effect of it a little bit.
Well, I'm thrilled that we're back at it here, even in limited capacity for the first few days of this week without game action for us. No MSG games on Monday, which is tonight. Nothing on Wednesday either.
I'll rest my voice tonight. How about that?
Famous last words. So we talked a lot because Josh Norris was with us in the first half hour of the show just about where he's fitting in right now.
Yes.
We've got endless time to get into further projections, and obviously off-season change will impact our discussions and things of that nature. But what we have seen in the last couple of games, and it continues tonight without having Dahlin and Byram together, is just trying to make sense of the group of six on the blue line. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing, like, obviously the Sabres have lost six in a row, and they've given up almost 5 goals per game over those six. So this is a collective, obviously, but this area of six and these pairings are of paramount importance. Are they not moving forward?
They are. And, I mean, we have talked a lot over the last few years, outscoring your problems, right? And
right.
if you can, like 2 years ago, outscore your problems, then maybe you're not focused as much as, you know, we have been of late of the amount of goals that the Sabres have given up. You're playing the Edmonton Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win if you're not really strong defensively. And against the Oilers, a lot of their plays are off the rush. So maybe that fits in a little bit better with the Sabres. The problem with the Sabres right now is not off the rush. It's around your net. Like, everything that's around the net. And, you know, last game in Florida, 2 of the goals were literally pucks in the crease.
Yes.
A.J. Greer, Anton Lundell. It's pucks that are in the crease. You've got to be tough around the front of your net. And I'm not even going to say the centerman that's down low has got out. It's on the defense. It's on the players that are there. Have to be tough in front of the net. That is what it comes down to. The first goal, really, you look at A.J. Greer's there. The puck goes through Luukkonen, but, you know, Sammy got pushed off. Get in there. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play with Dahlin, if you're going to be the guy that maybe Lindelof is in, let's put Samuelson with Dahlin, because Dahlin and Byram were working good, but maybe we're trying something different. Well, if you're Samuelson and you get that opportunity, it's not about offense. It's not about moving the puck. It's about being strong in front of your net. Mm-hmm. That's all you have to worry about.
So what do you think is at the root of the change right now by moving away from Dahlin and Byram? Is it because And Joki Haru and Gilbert are no longer in the group of six, and Samuelson has still played fewer minutes than they would have liked this year? Is it more trying to, like, is it more that they know what they have in 26-4? So they want to try to figure out the rest of it, if that makes any sense?
Yeah, because the way that I look at it is,
I guess what I'm saying is they could start next year with 26-4 and know exactly what they're getting.
Yes. And but right now I feel like the Sabres are trying to see, how can we get 3 pairs of defense that we can throw out there and not have Dahlin and Byram 26 minutes?
Right.
Maybe we're Dahlin and Byram 23 minutes, and then you have another pair 21, another pair 18, and then you're like, okay, we're working that way. Bernard Docker is a right-handed shot. Bernard Docker.
So this is a very critical point in all of this, because with his visa challenges at the moment, he's still not a part of this, so you're not getting a true representation of what they have.
I think when I look at it, so you're trying Samuelson, Dahlin together, trying Byron Bryson together, and you'd probably have Power, Bernard Docker, if that's how I'm picturing it. So, because you need a right-handed shot to play with Owen Power. Owen Power has played with Samuelson this year, played with Byron this year. I just don't feel like two lefties when Owen Power's on the ice is working. Mm-hmm. Two lefties when Dahlin is on the ice has been fine, or Byron on the ice together, they've worked out fine. But with Power, it has not worked as well. So is Bernard Docker the guy that can come in and stabilize Owen Power from the right side? Right now, they got Connor Clifton playing with Power, but I don't really see that fit for next year. So you're trying different pairings. I would like to see, if you're going to tell me right now, what do you think your top four would look with the players you have? I would say Dahlin, Byron, Power, Bernard Docker. But Bernard Docker is not a offensive defenseman. He's not a puck mover.
No, but that, isn't that good to have him with
exactly.
Power?
Exactly. Yeah. It would be just, you're strictly the guy that's going to play with Power and say, I've got you. I'm going to be the guy back. I'm never going to pinch. I'm never going to join the rush. I'm just going to have the defensive side of the game. And maybe that would help Owen Power as we go. But Owen Power's got to take ownership in his game. He's got to be stronger. He's got to be quicker. There's a lot that he has to do. And, you know, sometimes your first couple, three seasons, well, there's some highs and some lows.
You have Ryan Johnson as well, I think, has to be considered if you're projecting into next year, because not only have the Amerks performed well, but there's a belief, from my understanding, that he has done, is doing everything expected and then some at the American Hockey League level. Now, again, we know it's a big jump, but he has played, I would still say, a fair number of NHL minutes. And then, because we are so closely removed from the trade deadline, and how we often talk about conversations that happened then that could lead to something further down the road, that's why I have this intrigue with the group of six. Because if the hockey department thinks we have an opportunity to make another big hockey deal in the summer involving one of our defensemen, then why don't we try other stuff, knowing we have yet to use Bernard Docker, we haven't had Ryan Johnson in, and to a much lesser extent, I'll say, you have some younger blue lines.
Novikov.
Novikov and Komarov are the ones of intrigue, yes. Right? But they're probably not quite knocking on the door just yet.
But
I just think all
away.
Of this has to be discussed right now when you're having an honest evaluation of this group of six.
And if you're in the meetings with general manager Kevin Adams, you have to look at your contracts and what does that look like in 2 years. Now, I can guarantee you this, Kevin Adams is not having conversations right now saying, what is our team going to be looking like in 2 years every day? But he may be having one of those conversations just to kind of set up. It's all about game one next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. Look, if you say next year, you have Dahlin, Byron, you know, do you have Owen Power? Okay, let's say you go and you build with those three. Mm-hmm. What is the rest of the group looking like? Bernard Docker just got added. He's going to play 15, 18 games from now till the end of the year, depending on when his visa gets figured out and he joins the team. They only have 20 games left. But, okay, is he going to be part of this group? I like the idea of saying you need younger, new bodies into the lineup. But Ryan Johnson coming in, to me, would be a nice step for him to walk in. But he's not going to move the needle and saying we're much better defensively, we're stronger. You need other pieces. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, comes from unrestricted free agency or trades at the draft. That's where the focus is at.
Yeah, I would agree. And tonight, the expectation is Samuelson, Dahlin, Byron Bryson, Power, and Clifton up against an Oilers team that scores 3.25 goals per game. Leon Draisaitl trying to chase down an Art Ross, along with him being in the favorite position right now for the Rocket Richard. He's sitting on 46 goals. The Oilers are top 10 in offense, just like Florida was on Saturday night in their 4-0 win over Buffalo. Incredibly, for all the concern, shall we say, that is vented towards the Oilers and their challenges between the pipes, the Oilers are 13th in goals against. It's not unlike last year when Buffalo ended their season and all the talking points for this, that, and the other, and I'm like, you realize they ended up tied for 11th in goals against last year. Like, it wasn't that big of... Now they're 30th, Marty. The Sabres only yeah. Pittsburgh and San Jose have a worse goals against average right now.
No, and look, the little slide here of late has put Ukko Pekka Luukkonen in what is an NHL 500, 20-20-4. Mm-hmm. But really, like, when you think of it in a goaltender way, you won 20 and lost 24. He was at least on the positive side of that for a little while, and then it's dropped. Save percentage dropped to 890. 890 is not where you want it to be. Look. You talk about the Oilers being, what, 13th mm-hmm. in goals against?
Yep.
They have Calvin Pickard at 896 and Stuart Skinner, which we likely will see tonight, mm-hmm. at 897. James Reimer's at 895. Mm-hmm. It's basically James Reimer numbers are being played with the Edmonton Oilers right now. But this is a team that I think has the puck a lot more. They don't give up as many shots. Their goaltending's just been very inconsistent. So both goalies under 900 right now is not helping it.
Sabres, Oilers tonight is one of four games.
Yeah, light night.
Chicago, Colorado, the Avalanche have won five in a row. Detroit, Ottawa, massive wild card implications in the East. Ottawa currently in a spot. Detroit is in a tough spot. Having lost five in a row, their saving grace is that despite all five losses being in regulation, they really haven't lost much ground, and that's almost a miracle at this point. So they have to get after it in Ottawa. Senators, of course, coming off an overtime win against the Rangers. Toronto is at Utah, and let's not sleep on the hockey club. They're 7-3-1 in the last 11. They're 4 points out of a wild card in the West. So massive game for them against this Toronto team. So...
Toronto just come back from losing in Colorado.
In devastating fashion based on how they were in position to win, you know, going into the third period, and then it just all, the roof caved in on them defensively. But I do want to say, you know, in this Eastern Conference wild card race, and we talk of Ottawa, we talk of Detroit, and the Rangers and Columbus played last night. And, again, these are things where you just, it's hard to compare with when you don't see every single game in its entirety. But for all that we've said about Columbus this year, I don't know if they've ever in the short term been put in their place, faced as much adversity as they would have in the second period, taking a 3-1 lead on a power play about to go up 4-1 potentially. They gave up two shorthanded goals in less than a minute. And all of a sudden, the game's 3-3, and you're going, are you kidding me? And they end up winning the game 7-3.
Yes.
And I was like, Adam Fantilli, another hat trick, balance across the board, recovery moments from those who were kind of responsible for giving up the shorthanded goals. And, of course, at the end of the day, their goaltending was way better than what the Rangers got from John Quick, and they were terrible defensively in front of them, too. But what a massive game for Columbus to hold their spot, wild card one, in the East.
What a massive missed opportunity for the Rangers, because
Correct.
You look at Columbus. So according to Tankathon.com, the Columbus Blue Jackets have the seventh toughest schedule remaining in the National Hockey League when you look at strength of schedules. Buffalo actually has the second toughest schedule remaining. But
well, part of that, I mean, I would think part of that is something we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that is compression of schedule. Remember, they were entering into a stretch where they're, but it's also
they have Washington,
opponent-based.
They have Vegas, Florida, Toronto, Carolina. They have a lot of strong opponents.
Yes.
But Columbus had the Rangers last night. They have New Jersey, Vegas, and then the Rangers in New Jersey again. Mm-hmm. That five-game segment is pivotal for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Only 4 points behind the Devils.
They could
catch the Devils. Devils got a big win yesterday, but
they could put some separation between themselves and the Rangers, knowing that Columbus is going to have a really strong schedule. They have Dallas remaining. They have the Oilers. They have some tough matchups coming up. So, yeah, Columbus needed that win, and Fantilli with a hat trick again just amazing how they're going to get Moynihan back. They're going to get Boone Jenner back. It's going to be...
Well, Jenner's been back.
Jenner's been back, but I talked to Jean-Luc Grandpierre. He was saying he wasn't sure if he was going to play last night, but
okay.
He played.
That I don't know, but he had come back, so
yeah.
You can double-check on that. But the fact of the matter is, Werenski continues to be the catalyst, and last night Fantilli with his second hat-trick of the year. Best and worst, it's kind of Marty's thing from the weekend. We'll have that when we
Boone
come back.
Jenner did play last night.
Thank you. Sabres teaming up with Bald for Bucks. Donate $50 or more, and receive a Bald for Bucks t-shirt. You can learn more about this at sabres.com/baldforbucks. It's a Marty and Dan thing, and we are grateful to be partnering with Roswell Park once again on this. So, that being said, best and worst of the weekend coming up after this on Sabres Live. How do I sound now, Marty? I'm talking out the other side of my mouth.
Oh, you went to the other side. I like it. I stayed the same side. Probably should have done a switch, but no.
This is actually Marty's pet peeve is when broadcasters come on with the microphone across the side
big,
of their face.
Big pet peeve. And if you're watching on MSG, so watch this when, you know, broadcasters have the headset on. Duffer and I usually don't have the headset on because we're just doing, intermission.
No, it's because of your hair and you don't want to mess it up.
That's not true. It, you know, it looks better when you don't have that. But the play-by-play and analyst have the headset on because it's better sound.
Correct.
So, but when they do their hit... When they face each other, you're supposed to put the microphone on the outside so it's not in the shot. Even football or NBA or baseball, you watch it and it drives me crazy. But not as crazy as it drives you with the wire. Like if the wire is all in front of, which I had in front of me right now, you're supposed to put the wire behind you so you don't see it.
Why are we teaching broadcasting 101 and not doing best and worst of the weekend?
Well, because sometimes broadcasting 101 is the best of the weekend. I'll say this, best of the weekend, I'm going to go back to Army just because it was a great time with the family. Coach Riley, this is a great story, and I've told it before, but Brian Riley has been coaching Army for now 21 years. His brother coached for 20 years before that, and his dad coached for 30-some years before that. They've been the coach at Army for 75 years. And now because they won yesterday in OT, his career gets extended at least one more weekend. He's retiring at the end of the year. So that was pretty special for Coach Riley.
I thought you were going to say because the season has extended, somebody else in the family decided.
I'll take over. Oh, no, you know what's funny is that his son, Jack, was named after the grandfather, Jack, the original coach, is an assistant coach on the bench, but he played at Mercyhurst, his college hockey, and now he's a coach. He's not taking over. He's still, you know, young in the coaching realm, but yeah.
Four-second pregame show since we're not on tonight.
It's all about Thompson and Norris tonight.
All right. Enjoy, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.